A psychoanalyst was talking to his good friend, Brother Jeremy, who had spent most of his life in a monastery in Michigan. And Brother Jeremy said to the psychoanalyst, "What do you think we talk about at the monastery?" And the psychoanalyst said, "I figure y'all hit the big ticket items, God and evil and the theology of the church fathers and the power of resurrection." And Brother Jeremy said, "Yeah, we talk about things like that. But if you walk around the grounds long enough, you'll also hear conversations like, 'I can't believe it. I am back on kitchen detail yet again.'" And do you notice how often Brother John gets to drive into town more than the rest of us? And my cell is right next to Brother Dominic. He snores like a chainsaw. In other words, this venerable monk was saying, even in a community devoted to God's service, there are divisions. There grow up barriers between people. Even in a community devoted to God's service, there is a need for peacemakers. There's a famous preacher named John Killinger who was over in the Far East doing a seminar with chaplains, military chaplains, and he met an Air Force chaplain from Sneedville, Tennessee, Jackson County, Sneedville, Tennessee, who had a great love for antique furniture, particularly antique clocks. And Killinger asked him what he was going to do, and he said, "Once I retire, I'm going to go back to Sneedville, back to Jackson County, which is the poorest county in Appalachia, the highest unemployment rate, and I'm going to create a factory, and we're going to make antique furniture, particularly antique clocks, and provide employment for that city, that community." A few years later, Killinger was near Sneedville, Tennessee, so he drove up, tried to find his friend who was out of town, but he found not one, but two factories making antique clocks and other antique furniture from the Orient, and both were doing fabulously. Though people around town said, "I don't think the guy's making any money, he's pouring all of his assets back into improving the community." But he was making peace. He was addressing the structures in that society that oppressed people. He was removing barriers that divided people. Three friends, very pious, very devoted to Christ, decided to take seriously Christ's word, "Blessed are the peacemakers." One joined a nonprofit group that worked with warring communities. One dedicated himself to visiting and comforting the diseased and the dying. And one went out into the desert for a discipline of solitude. After a year, the first two felt completely frustrated, stymied, empty by the difficulty of trying to do their job. So both of them went to the third man who was out in the desert and says, "Why are we so frustrated?" And he took water and poured it into a bowl and said, "Look into it." They did, but they could see nothing. The water was too turbulent. He said, "Let's wait an hour." They came back and looked into the water, and it was clear, and they could see their faces. And their friend said to them, "Sometimes when you're trying to make peace and are frustrated, it is because there is no peace within yourself. There are divisions that divide communities. There are divisions that divide structures, that divide societies. There are divisions that divide our own soul. There is a need for peacemakers in our communities, in our society, and in our souls. Now, a question. What is this peace? What is this peace that Jesus is talking about? Jesus was a Jew. We actually have someone from Bethlehem here this morning. She can tell you that the word Jesus would have used is shalom. Shalom. Shalom is one of the great words of the Old Testament. It means harmony of being. It means wonderful relationships. It means serenity, it means calm, it means tranquility of lifestyle. Shalom means an overall feeling of blessing, a life of harmony. Shalom. Jesus is invoking shalom among his servants. The New Testament word, irene, is the equivalent of shalom, general well-being, harmonious relationships. A feeling of blessing and wholeness. It's used no less than 88 times in the New Testament. Irene, peace. When Paul writes letters, every one of his letters contains a blessing of irene, peace. But notice something. Our Lord does not say, blessed are those who enjoy peace. He says, blessed are those who make peace. Blessed are those who are involved in tearing down barriers, who are removing walls of division. Paul referenced this. He understands it, but Jesus is speaking so powerfully to his people. His ministry, his death, his resurrection disturbed the world's peace. And when he says unto the world, peace I give you, he also couples that with, I bring not peace, but a sword. I bring not peace, but a sword. How do you reconcile that statement with his promise of peace? Because when you are engaged in the process of tearing down walls, when you are engaged in the behavior of removing divisions, that creates chaos. That creates turbulence. The peace that our Lord offers us is not serenity and calm away from chaos. It's serenity and calm and tranquility of soul in the midst of chaos. Jesus is saying to his disciples, go out and make peace by tearing down walls. Paul understood this so perfectly when he says in Colossians, our Christ is our peace, eliminating walls through the blood of the cross. Now, wait a second, you're saying. I don't see anything that comes in there about barriers or walls. Oh, it's there. It's there, believe me. The great biblical linguist, William Barclay, reminds us that the Greeks believed there was a natural division between Greeks and pagans. The Jews believed there was a natural division between Jew and Gentile. In that culture, the word natural meant barrier. Natural barrier is an oxymoron, it's a tautology. Natural barrier. There were natural barriers between the Greeks and the pagans, the Jews and the Gentiles, the males and the females, the slaves and the free, the circumcised and the uncircumcised. The whole world was stratified, clean and unclean. The world was divided into divisions. And you relegated people to various compartments based on where they fit in the division. You treated them according to their status. That's the world into which Christ sent his disciples to make peace, to tear down walls, to eliminate divisions. And so you have Paul, who grasped exactly what Jesus is talking about when he said, in Christ, there is no Jew or Gentile. There is no slave or free, no male or female. We are made one through the cross of Jesus Christ. Paul grasped in his marrow that the peace of Christ is tearing down divisions that divide people. And when you do that, you are children of God. Jesus, Paul said, Christ is our peace. In the passage Jeff read, that wonderful passage, he says he's bringing Gentile and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, into a new creation. Tearing down the walls of hostility, breaking down the barriers of division, he is making us one new creation. That's peacemaking according to Jesus. Jesus is saying, yes, you can enjoy tranquility. Yes, you can enjoy calm. Yes, you can enjoy serenity. But true peace is not done in the absence of conflict. It's done in the midst of chaos as you break down divisions. You and I think we're peacemakers. But oftentimes, you and I are people who simply let things go for what we think is the sake of peace. Divisions in communities, divisions in society, divisions within ourselves, we tend to just say, oh, I'm going to let them go for the sake of peace. Our Christ is saying to us, no, that's not peace. Blessed are peacemakers. Blessed are those who address those divisions within themselves, who address those divisions in society, who address those divisions in community and start tearing down those walls. It is not easy. It is extraordinarily hard. It is amazingly draining. But when you are practicing peace, you're approaching becoming a child of God. About 100 years ago, a French archaeologist found something. It was one of the astounding discoveries in archaeology. It was the placard that was attached to the temple wall that said, no Gentile can pass this point on pain of death. Paul looked on that placard, looked on that inscription. He believed that inscription. He believed he lived in a world where there was a wall of division between Jew and Gentile. He believed he lived in a world that divided the slave from the free, the male from the female, the circumcised and the uncircumcised. But when the peace of Christ suffused him, he began to realize that his life's work was knocking down walls and removing barriers. so that he can write to that church in Ephesians to say, Christ has taken the two people and made them a new creation. He's tearing down the walls of hostility. In Christ, there is no Jew or Gentile, is no slave or free, male or female, circumcised, uncircumcised. We are made one through the peace of Christ Jesus. Paul started taking people out of compartments and just treating them as equals before God. You and I, let's face it, we have compartments. We place people into them. I think of a conversation I had with a young woman some years ago who came to me to talk to me about her love life. And I suggested that she have one. And she said, well, this man has asked me out. He's really cute. He's very witty. I love being in his presence. But he's divorced. And I don't date divorced people. And I said, you say he's really cute? Hell yeah. You say he's witty? Oh, yeah. Is he fun to be with? Oh, absolutely. I said, why don't you take him out of that compartment and treat him like a human being? She thought that was astoundingly liberating advice. You and I have our compartments. We divide people by politics or by race or by religion or by social status or economic income or educational attainment or a host of other factors. And we decide how we will relate to people on the basis of what compartment we place them in. Our Lord says, throw away all those compartments. Break down those barriers. Remove those walls, painful as it is. And just treat people as people. When you do that, you become the children of God. What is Isaiah's vision? Swords shall become plowshares. Spears shall become pruning hooks. But spears and swords don't naturally become agricultural instruments that grow nourishment. They have to be hammered. They have to be shaped. We have to do the hammering and the shaping. We have to be the people that tear down the walls of division in our incredibly stratified society. We have to be the ones that lead the way and simply treat people as people. And when we do that, as difficult as it is, we're practicing the peace of Christ and we're becoming the children of God. May we pray together. Oh Lord, we confess to you, we all have our compartments that we throw people into and decide how we'll relate to them on the basis of those compartments. Challenge us to love like you love, to make peace like you made peace. And truly, may we claim our status as your children. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We challenge you.